Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Surviving Life with the Vambilis.
Yep, it's one of those lovely Wednesday mornings where I'm sitting next to the talented, anointed, what else can we say, Letitia? Hair-filled. Letitia Vambilis.
As usual, we're always happy to have you with us on a Wednesday morning. And I'm here, of course, with Danny V. himself, the man, the legend.
The legend.
If you ever hear him say SMS, then you know that the legend is real and it's alive and it's kicking. We are always so excited to have you with us on the show. Albeit, apparently we're going through some kind of heat wave. I think that we're going to add to the heat this morning as we get into the topic of the day.
What is this topic, Lady V?
Well, you want to be next to your phone today because the topic is called The Spirit Behind Every Conduct. In this episode, we discuss the idea that there's a spirit behind every kind of behavior. The emphasis is on how we so often focus on the flesh and the blood of a situation that we completely ignore the principalities and high places behind what is going on, according to Ephesians 6 verse 12. We discuss today how sometimes we're unable to defeat the conduct in the flesh because the approach needs to be spiritual. So how do we even identify the spiritual underbelly of what we're seeing in the physical?
So if there are things that you've been trying to defeat and you're just asking yourself, like, look, what is this? Why can't I get over this? Oh, you know, why are we consistently in the cycle? You do not want to miss this episode, especially if you stay in the suburbs. I've got a bone to pick with you today. Come on, you and your medical aid. We're going to have a conversation.
Remember that you can WhatsApp us throughout the show on 0713640376. Let us know what you think, give your opinion, and of course, stay in touch with Impact 103.
And this is WhatsApp, not an SMS, Letitia. Guys, in-house jokes, but yeah, they've been on my case because I tend to go back to being a legend. SMS us on, just joking.
As you know, every Tuesday evening between 6 and 6:30 p.m., we start off the conversation, and this morning we have the privilege of being able to discuss it live in studio with you. So as you may have heard, today's topic is about the spirit behind every conduct. And our principal verse this morning is Ephesians 6:12. It's one we know quite well, but as usual, we're going to tackle it a little bit differently this morning. So starting from verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." You know, when we talk about the fact that physical things are accompanied by spiritual things, this is backed up by New Testament documentation. Okay, and always remember that if you want to know the version we're reading, you can always ask, but I've just read that in the NIV, New International Version. And yes, so Danny, today's topic, we discussed how it has to do with the church trying to balance an imbalance. What's going on with the imbalance between the spirit and the physical talk?
You know, I think what has happened is we're overcompensating for what we've been in the past. You know, so in the past, any problem in the church was spiritualized. You know, someone could be overspending and then you catch them like, why are you overspending? No, it's the spirit that's made me do this. It's the devil. You know, someone could have a drinking problem and they just blame the devil instead of finding therapy. So I believe at some point we decided as a church, we are going to involve specialists. We are going to go to the psychologists. We are going to go to the doctors. We are going to go to rehab centers. And, you know, we took a holistic approach, which is lovely, you know. But over time, it's almost like we've gotten so into our professional help that we've actually forgotten that some issues still do have a spiritual leg to it. So what we've done now is whenever we have a problem, we have a panado, it's ready, our medical aid is there, you know. And I really want to figure out, someone like you, Letitia, you are in the counseling field, you've got your degree in psychology. How do we bring people back in to a place of balance? What do we do?
You know, I always say that it's the Lord that created human psychosis. And he may not necessarily call it psychosis. He may not necessarily call it psychology. But we call it that. And all the mechanisms that help us think, feel, and make decisions is something that God created. Now, anything that God created can be improved upon. Like the Apostle Paul says, he wants us to excel in our giftings. And it can also be perverted as the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The most important thing for a believer, because you know there are counselors and there are counselors. You can have a counselor that believes in the secular way of things or the Eastern religion way of things, and then you can have a counselor who is trained but who believes in the Jesus way of things. If you believe in Jesus, then you have to be about balance. And I'm going to go to Matthew 6:9-13. This is the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to read verse 10 particularly, that says, "Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The "on earth as it is in heaven" for me, as someone who's done the work in terms of the data and the reading of psychosis and mental health and all of that, is that a doctor is great. God is the one who gave the knowledge for someone to be able to administer healing in that kind of way. And God is also the one who created the plants that we make the medicines from that heal us. So medicine, great. It can be a gift from God. But there is also a spiritual aspect to illness. We can't, as believers, completely ignore that there's a spirit called the spirit of infirmity. And the spirit of infirmity, as we know, causes illness. So if I wanted to give a practical example of this, when stress causes a stroke, you can't touch stress. It's an intangible object. You can't see stress. You can't communicate with stress. It's an invisible feeling that becomes visible medically. And so that's how the spirit realm is as well. And that's why the scripture says, "May your health prosper as your soul prospers." We cannot deny that there is a osmosis happening, if you will, between the spirit, the soul, and the flesh.
Now, to all of you listening today, you know, we don't want you to go cancel your medical aid. We don't want you to go demonize doctors. We love doctors. In fact, both our parents were doctors and are in the medical field. You know, both parent, mom, dad, and you know, some nursing and pharmacists. So we have no issues with the medical field. But what we're asking you is, has your comfort become your medical aid and the ability to just take the next pill? Or are you still open to the Lord intervening? And are you seeking the Lord in that way? So when we come back, we're having this conversation, and then 071-364-0376, do message us your thoughts as we begin this conversation. It's a journey. You are still with the Vampillies, and wow, we are going into this topic a bit from a personal experience I had. For a few months in my life, it's interesting that it just happened to end a bit quick, okay? I was wearing glasses, okay? I went, I was struggling to see. Everything was a bit blurry and it kept getting worse. Maybe for about a year, you know, I went to see an optometrist and we did all the tests that proved that I had problems with my eyes, and at night I couldn't, I was struggling with light, you know. So it was a real medical issue. You know, I still have the medical proof for what I'd gone through. And this was during COVID, where the Lord had told me to have a prayer session online. So this prayer session is actually recorded, where during the session he asked me to pray for people who are having eye problems. So I began to pray for these people, and in my mind I'm just praying for those who are, behind the screen somewhere. And the next thing I knew, I could not see anymore. And it was like the glasses I was wearing became blurry. And when I took them off, I could see. But it happened so quickly that even in the video recording, I don't realize that I got healed. So I continue, and it's only later that I realized, wait a minute. When it was done, I tried to put my glasses on, and I couldn't see with the glasses on. Then I realized, look, the glasses are not working, blah, blah, blah. Cut a long story short, I got healed. Now, this experience reminded me again, just because you've got access to your optometrist, to your doctors, does not mean God has retired as a healer. All right? Now, I want to be very clear that we do not demonize the medical profession, because I think a lot of us have done
You
that.
know what? If there's any doctors listening, or nurses, or people in the medical profession, I've always wanted to know what it feels like when you're sitting at church and everyone starts screaming and shouting about how the doctor's
To all the
report.
doctors,
We love you, doctors. We
071-364-0377. Maybe even send us a 1 minute voice note and tell us what that feeling is like, Because it's true. It's almost like we've demonized the doctors for giving us the diagnosis. Meanwhile, doctors help us. If you were not giving us the diagnosis, we wouldn't know what we're dealing with. You get me? So it's so important. And in biblical times, when you got healed, if you claimed you were healed, after being healed, you had to go show yourself to the priest. Even Jesus sent people he healed to the priest. And they had to examine and give you a note that says, this person was maybe a leper, but now they're clean and they can come back into society. So we're saying that there's such a beautiful place and a beautiful role that our medical professionals play. Now, they are not the issue. The issue is us. We want quick fixes, and healing takes faith, it takes waiting. God is not a genie in the bottle. One person can pray and they're healed instantly. The next person can pray and it's a whole process of healing. One will have to cut generational curses. The other, it's instant. But we need to have the patience to go through the process. But even more, the willingness to not depend just on our medical aid.
You know, even in the medical field, if someone goes through a particularly traumatic event, or let's say they've been in a long-term coma, they will then have medical help in the form of the administration of the different drugs and then the physio, etc. But there's also a mental component to it as well, and that's why you've got clinical psychologists within the medical field who can diagnose, and as well as psychiatrists who can prescribe, because there's more than just the effects of what you've gone through physically. Whenever harm is done to the body, it affects every aspect of the body. And in the book of Thessalonians, we're called to be whole in spirit, in mind, in body, and all of that. And so there's a way in which we can work together with medicine to get well. But we know, every believer knows the testimony of someone who got well instantly from one prayer. And we always bless the Lord for those quick miracles, but we also acknowledge that some people's journeys need a more holistic approach. Someone who's been in a coma is going to need some kind of mental and spiritual support when they come out of that thing. So never to negate the gifts that God has given us, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of being talented with healing as well as a doctor and a medical professional.
So we love you, Impact Radio listeners, and we are encouraging you that sometimes there's a spirit behind sickness. And if you've been dealing with long-term stuff and you've accepted, look, this is medically proven, we're also saying, yep, that's good. Now, can we take time to seek the Lord and say, is there maybe an area where I've overlooked the spirituality behind my condition? That's 1-3 with you all the way. Visit impactradio.co.za.
So we've been talking about the medical aspect and acknowledging that you may be going through something physical that may have a spiritual component. Let's move a little bit deeper. Let's go into the mental stuff. So when I was in my first year of study, we were told about the story about how certain behaviors, characteristics, and challenges that we face as people can come from the in utero experience of being a human being. And the in utero experience is simply when your mom was pregnant with you. And there was a case study that we had to study where a lady was depressed for what seemed to be an abnormal amount of time. So many, many, many years. She had chronic long-term depression. And one day, in one of her sessions, because they just couldn't seem to make a breakthrough, her psychiatrist said to her, you know what, we need to check your in utero experience. What was the environment? What was your mother going through? What were her emotions when she was pregnant with you? And so she felt she had nothing to lose, went and asked her mom and found out the most shocking news. So this lady struggled with depression and she went to the mom and said, listen, my counselor said we need to probe this area and search what happened when you were pregnant. So her surprise, her mother told her that when she was pregnant, towards the 8th month of pregnancy, she and the father had a falling out. And so the mom, traumatized by the idea that she will now be bound to this man for the rest of her life, tried to get rid of her while she was in the womb. I'm going to give a quick trigger warning. This mom took a knitting needle and tried to get rid of her pregnancy using a knitting needle. But you have to understand, this was an 8-month old pregnancy. So this was a fully formed human baby. And so in her attempt to use that knitting needle, she was sent to hospital, but thankfully the lady was obviously not hurt. So this lady goes to the psychiatrist and tells her the story to say, this is what I found out. My mom tried to get rid of me this way. The psychiatrist then said to her, that's where rejection came in. And they had their breakthrough, and this woman was no longer suffering from her mental illness because she understood that she has always felt unwanted, like she didn't deserve to be in this world, like she needed to earn her keep and nothing that she did was good enough. And her finding out what happened to her before the time of consciousness is actually what made her feel this way. Now, within a professional counseling setup, they called it just rejection. But as believers, we know that there is a spirit of rejection that's also very real that comes upon people. So it's great, you know, if something like that happens and you get a breakthrough in counseling, you've dealt with that in the soul level. Now you need to go deal with it in the spirit level. And today that's what we're bringing your attention to say even some of the things that we feel, some of the things we go through medically, yes, you cover that in prayer as well. But even as far as our emotion, where does your feelings of not being wanted come from? And unfortunately, when we don't deal with it from a spiritual perspective, it's the underlying basis that informs how we think the world feels about us. And then it affects how we behave. So it's not natural for you as a parent to just think your children don't want you. You know, the husband-wife dynamic is a little bit different. It's a little bit more tricky. But typically, children need their parents. It's a need, especially when they're just born, right? So if you're a mom or a dad and you just think your children don't need you, and you've always felt that way from the time they were little, then the situation may be coming from somewhere else. And it definitely may need you to probe the spirit behind the emotion or the mental struggle.
I think when we have these conversations, it's to push you to examine a bit further, you know, to really go and look and say, are there perhaps things that I'm not aware of that are generational patterns that find ways to repeat themselves in our bloodline? You know, because if you can deal with it from that perspective, you'll find that long-term situations, long-term cycles can begin to break. You know, don't let it continue after you, but also don't be ignorant or comfortable. You know, there are people who even say, you know, ask the Kumalos, we are just like this. You know, don't try this with the Fundameva boys. The Fundameva boys do this. Meanwhile, there's just a spirit behind it that if not addressed, will continue. Amen.
Amen. If you have an experience of any of what we're talking about today and you would like to share it with us on Impact 103, remember that you can always stay in contact with us on 071-364-0376. Send us your WhatsApps. If you want to send a voice note, try to keep it to a minute so we can play it on air and everyone can share in your wisdom as well.
And remember, there's nothing like a testimony. You know, we can argue theological stuff, but when you share your testimony, it helps shed light.
He's been so kind to me.
Should you back announce?
Okay. King D Music with Faithful. Man, the words of the song are just priceless. The Lord loves us and He restores us regardless of our mistakes.
Come alive to the music on Impact 103.
So we're going to take the conversation even deeper. We spoke about the medical aspect and that there's a spirit that can be operating there. We spoke about the mental aspect and that the spirit can be operating there. Now we're really going to break it down and speak about the spiritual aspect, and there are spirits that operate there as well. I want to start by reading Job 32, verse 7 to 9. This is when Elihu is speaking to the elders, and he says, "I thought age should speak, advanced years should teach wisdom, but it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding." I'm going to stop there by.
Look, that intro is deep.
That was shade.
I thought age should speak. Advanced years should teach wisdom. In other words, it's not your age or your advance in years that gives you wisdom. I had this guy.
And he has the guts to say it in front of the elders, just to say to them, you guys are all dwarf. Okay, I'm the one that's going to speak now. And basically, if I could read verse 8 again, it says, "But it is the spirit in a person." And the spirit is small letters. So I want you guys to remember that when the Bible does small letters, big letters with spirit, the spirit in small letters is usually speaking about the soulish spirit. It's not speaking about the spirit of God. But it is the spirit, small letters, in a person, the breath of the Almighty that gives them understanding. So if the breath of the Almighty can give the spirit in a person understanding, then the breath of the enemy can give the spirit in a person misunderstanding. Because we have to understand that the spirit world works the opposite way as well. You know, I know someone who is highly, highly, highly anointed. And when we first started talking, this person would say things like, "Spirit told me this, spirit told me last night, spirit told me this." And then it just, I had such a huge check in my spirit about that. And I went to this person and I said, "You know what? When we speak about Jesus Christ and the things of the Bible, it is so important to say the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the is a definite article. And Holy Spirit is always written in capitals, literally, usually capital L, H, etc. The definite article is basically telling us that there is definitely a spirit that is holy and holier than the other spirits. It's a distinguishing article to say this one here is holy. What does that mean? That means that there are ones that are not holy. That means that there are ones that are done with an indefinite article. And one thing we're going to go into, especially in the second hours, is that as believers, and the Bible speaks about this in the final days, that we will have itchy ears and that we will want the spiritual powers and what. But it's like believers have completely forgotten that the spirit realm exists as a general place of operation where the Lord is very clear. When you're dealing with Jesus Christ, you're dealing with the Holy Spirit. Someone being able to prophesy to you doesn't mean they walk with the Holy Spirit. It means they can walk with spirits. Mm. But we're going to go into that when we get there.
And this is so important because we want you to not completely neglect spiritual matters because maybe there's been abuse of it, but also to be aware, like, you know, if you get a word, is this coming from the Holy Spirit? And even for yourself, you know, it's so important for us in our walk just to test yourself. And another thing I loved about what you're saying, Letitia, is sometimes there's a spirit that has hold of families, you know, where everyone sees things in the same way. Maybe the whole family operates in a spirit of fear or in a spirit of distrust or in a spirit where, you know, there's people are naive. They just let everything in and, you know, they don't test anything. So it's so important for us as believers to test and just to check, you know, is this the Holy Spirit? But more on that when we come back. 071-364-0376 is where you can send us your testimonies. So when we come back in the second hour, we'll play. We just want to hear, what has the Lord done for you, and how can you telling your story assist someone else who could be walking exactly where you used to be? Let's give hope today, even as we share our own personal journeys. We are going into the second hour with the song Holy Forever by Bethel Music and Jen Johnson. Ule is standing by with your news.
So we've got a message from Hercules, and it's a bit of a long one, so we're going to summarize a bit of it. We had a good laugh in studio with this one, and we're going to play the last bit of it so you can hear what he's saying. He's actually taking us into the next bit of conversation around the spirit realm and the church. So take it away.
And if God bestows gifts upon us, which different people get different gifts and talents, we should be grateful for it. But it's not something to walk on a belt with and say, oh, you know, I've got the power to speak in tongues and I'm so fantastic and wonderful and stuff. It's not about you. I run away when people say that to me. I put on my running shoes and I bail. So please, guys, whatever people say when it comes to the Holy Spirit and prophecy and stuff, take it with a pinch of salt and always measure it to the Word of God. So, Impact Radio, thank you very much for your program. Love it. It's always factual. And I think we're just going to be also awake, and we're going to be aware, and we're going to do it according to the Word of God. That's very important. Whatever we say, whatever we think, whatever we do, must be in accordance with the Word of God. Thanks, guys. Have a good day further. Bye-bye.
I want to give a warning to say, please don't break your neck running to the phones as we begin to talk about what's happening in the church and the spirit realm. Hercules, thank you so much for your message. We truly do appreciate it. Listen, accuracy of prophecy does not equal the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
I'm going to call a spade a spade. There are many spirits in the spirit realm, and we are called biblically within the New Testament, because that's where we always come to a whole cul-de-sac with believers when we argue, oh, it's the Old Testament. No, this one is very much the New. 1 John 4:4, that speaks about testing the spirit. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you would know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not is not from God. So this particular portion is not really about the false prophets necessarily, but it's about the spirit that is giving you the prophecy. Did you know that so many people don't know that they're false prophets?
Yeah.
It's not that simple. Sometimes you're prophesying, someone is prophesying from a good place, perhaps in the heart, like they're prophesying from a good place. But there's a conduct, there's a spirit behind it. I'm going to give an example. Years ago, we had a lady who was telling us that she had the gift of prophecy, but she wasn't sure where it was from. And she wasn't necessarily like a seasoned believer. She was quite new in the faith. And when she did some probing, she found out that her mom and her grandma and her great-grandma were all tarot card readers. So you can have the ability to see into the spirit realm that you don't even know where it's from. And what I learned as someone who's in ministry is, as someone who can give prophetic words, and yes, to Hercules' point, prophetic words have become exceedingly dangerous because so many times it's about puffing up the person giving the word and it doesn't even point us to Jesus anymore. And that's one of the biggest telltale signs. Does this prophetic word point to Jesus? There are many signs, but that's the first one, as scripture says. But this person could see, and they did not know how they could see. So I remember I've been a dreamer from the beginning of life. And there was a point in my life where I had to go to the Lord and submit my dream realm to him. Because I don't know which grandparent did what for me to have that ability. So I went to the Lord and I said, God, I know that you give gifts. But I'm not naive enough to think that the other side of the spirit realm doesn't manipulate these things. So, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus and I say, if this gift is not from you, remove it from me in the name of Jesus. But if it is, I ask you to confirm it and to strengthen it and to bring scripture that corroborates everything that I see.
We think sometimes just because it works, it's from God. You know, you get some gomas who get things right and it's not from God. You know, so, and then you also get people who were previously Sangomas submitting their lives to God, and then the Lord uses them differently, removes the old that was there and gives them a new. So it's very important for you, especially if you come from families, and this thing is not racial, eh? Because the person you're speaking about was, it's not an African person, but the bloodline, the tarot cards and all these things. So when you listen to such things, don't put a race to it. You know, it doesn't matter what race you come from. In it, everyone has a way, an ungodly way through which they access the spiritual realm.
And remember that according to 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse 4, please go and read that. We are called to test the spirit, not the prophecy, not the conduct, not even the accuracy. Mm. We're not even called to test how accurate was this person. Someone can be accurately prophesying to you through a spirit of divination. Listen, brothers, sisters, if I may, we cannot escape our individual relationship with God. And I think that's something we must admit has happened within the church, where our personal relationship with God, we've given it to some prophet or some pastor somewhere. We still have to do the work of testing what we're being told against the Word of God, Scripture, and our own relationship and walk with God as well.
And I love that aspect, and how even with Hercules' message, he brought that in to say, man, take it back to the Word of God. Because God is speaking, you know, and we're not saying God doesn't speak, but we are helping you to see the wolves, to see the deception, and also to see people who use accurate prophecy to steal from the children of God.
Sorry?
Impact 103, come alive to the beat of life.
All right, so we are still reading your messages. Sandra just said, good day, thanks for the nuggets about our gifts. I like the prayer, Letitia. Thank you so much, guys. I am empowered.
We bless the Lord. Thank you, Sandra.
Wow, so right now we are continuing with this topic of testing the spirit. Now, I've heard something often quoted, and I think it's misquoted, but I'll read it. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us. This is Romans 26, verse 27. Sorry, 8:26 at 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we are to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Some of us take for granted that the Spirit has taken over our conduct. Guys, we have to be careful to really go into the Spirit, submit and allow the Spirit of God to intercede on our behalf. Now, I also want to raise something. We always talk about wolves in sheep's clothing. And when we speak about that, we tend to point the finger at the pastors, like they are the wolves. But I want to encourage you to go and read that, and you'll realize that it's not actually referring to the person on the pulpit. It's actually referring to the people in the congregation who sow distrust and discord and doubt in the people, you know, that will cause you to not go to church because, this person said this about me. You know, this person's always gossiping. Others will be there while the pastors are preaching. You know, they always see something wrong. You know, there are people whose job in life is to sow discord or doubt, or just to always approach you with, that scripture doesn't really sit so well with me. For me, I've learned over time to test the Spirit in those people, to really see, you know, where are you coming from? Are you someone who walks around, you know, sowing doubt in people? And as a believer, you have to protect yourself from such people.
We actually had an experience of that years ago ourselves. We were in a ministry where myself and you, Danny, we didn't agree with a lot of the ways that the leader of the church was conducting things or even using scripture. And at that point, we'd not really even discussed it between the two of us, but we just knew that something was wrong. And one morning we had one of the members of this congregation call you, right?
Mm.
And this member's aim was to just get you to like dog on the main pastor.
Yes.
And they were trying to extract information out of you. And I remember when you got off that phone call, you're like, this thing this person was trying to do, we don't believe in that in this house.
Yes.
And it's not to say that we didn't think it was strange, some of the things that were happening. Eventually we left that congregation. But it was a thing of character in before God to say, I don't know what spirit is happening in that person, because they called with so much malice, like they were ready to go in on this person.
And they were hoping I would join them
in this chat.
In that chat, yes. And immediately I could pick up in the spirit, no. This one here, this is a wolf in sheep's clothing, approaching like, I see something wrong. But actually what they're hoping for is to start gossip, to start discord, and you know. And you have to learn when to not partake.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see certain people. Some people you need to just call them and say, you know what, if you really want us to have this conversation, let's call the person you want to talk about to be present so we can address it with them. And you'll see that gossip spirit run away immediately.
Yeah, they don't like accountability or, you know, people standing by what they say. If you put them in a public place to say, if you feel so strongly about this, let's do what scripture says. You know, call your brother. Talk to your brother. They'll never agree.
No, they won't. They just won't. And guys, we have to protect ourselves in that way. I thought you'd put...
Life is unpredictable and dealing with the death of a loved one is difficult. But what if I told you that there's a team of professionals ready to make that journey a little easier? I'm happy to introduce you to Executives for Estates and Wills. They offer not only professional services but sympathetic support. They are by your loved one's side with hassle-free estate administration that takes the weight off their shoulders. The estates they handle are settled within 6 to 9 months, and your beneficiaries are always up to date. Visit their website today, www.executeers.co.za, because your peace of mind matters.
Impact 103. Let the music come alive.
You know, as we've been talking about being sure about the spirit behind a conduct, the only way that we can truly be sure, and we've touched on this a little earlier, is for us to spend time in the Word of God and to spend time with God so that we know if it is the Spirit of God talking. You know, this example has been used so many times. It's simple yet so effective. When your mother calls you, or your father calls you, or your brother calls you, you never need to see their faces in order for you to know that it's them. And the voice of God is much the same. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more time you spend with the Word, the more you know what the Word of God actually sounds like. The more you know how the Word of God actually conducts itself. And you begin to have what I call checks in your spirit when something doesn't align with what Scripture is saying. And we've seen this so many times. Scripture can be used and abused because it's a powerful piece of Scripture. And it's not Scripture, it's living, it's breathing. And so whoever has Scripture in their hands, they can essentially manipulate it to say whatever they want it to say. And that's why even the reading of the Scripture tells us, should be done with the eyes of the Spirit. Because Scripture says to us that those who are not in Christ do not even understand the things of the Spirit. You can give them the Word and it still will not make any sense to them. So it is important that we recognize that just because it comes clothed in Scripture, just because it comes clothed in ministry, doesn't necessarily mean that the enemy can't be using it and that you can't be manipulated through it. I think that God gets a very bad rep for some of the ills of humanity. What do I mean by that? God loves you. God wants the best for you, according to Jeremiah 29:11. And God has a very clear purpose for your life. I can come into your life and use the Word of God in a manipulative manner to get what I want from you. Once that disaster and catastrophes is done, it's kaput, you lose everything because of me, Prophetess Letitia, who came and lied and stole and did whatever, God gets the brunt of that. And I think that's something that we need to rectify as believers. There's a place of accountability where we need to say, I let this person into my life because I was vulnerable, because I was sad, because I was naive, or because I was just down and out. I shouldn't have done that. They used the Word of God to manipulate me, but it was not God manipulating me. I think that place of spiritual maturity is important for us as believers to recognize. There have been people that have used the Word to get the better of us, but us being used by them through the Word was not God using us.
I think also, as believers, we need to take a little bit of responsibility, because it's always easier when someone else is praying for you, someone else is standing in the gap for you, someone else is spending time in the Lord on your behalf, because then you don't have to do it. But that's exactly what opens doors to spiritual manipulation. You know, and we have to account at some point to say, you know what? I am not going to give that space to anyone.
Yeah.
I am not going to allow myself to feel so comfortable with you doing all the work that I stop going into the presence of the Lord for myself. So we really want to encourage you that this area needs you.
Mm-hmm.
It needs you to prioritize spending time with the Lord. It needs you to really prioritize and say, for my own benefit, to prevent abuse, to prevent being misused,
mm-hmm.
to prevent having people with the wrong intention coming into my life and taking the place of God, and I'm putting that in inverted commas.
Yeah.
Let me ensure as a believer that I will spend time with the Lord. And that for me is really how simple though it's complicated.
Yeah.
But that's how simple we can make it.
I have maybe a question, and if you can answer this for us, remember you can WhatsApp us 0713640376. In my experience of God, and remember we all experience God differently and beautifully in our own ways, but my personal experience of God has taught me that if you have a parent wound, like a mom wound or a dad wound, get God to fill that void.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with it with God first. Because what I've tended to see, especially if you look at the statistics, particularly in our country, in South Africa, the single parent households, etc., people have a lack. Mm. They have a lack of the father love. They have a lack of the mother love. And what will happen is we'll get into these ministries where men and women of God, and I put that in inverted commas, take up these roles of mother and of father. And because we have such a need, we don't test anything.
Already, yes.
We have a need on an emotional level. We have a need on a physical level. We have a need on a spiritual level for a mother and or a father. And we take these needs and we place them entirely on these human beings. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a place for a mentor in the faith, for a father in the faith, mother in the faith. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you have a father void or a mother void, in my experience of counseling and being in ministry, it is important to give that void to God first, because then it will make you more clear in how you allow someone to take up that role for you spiritually. If not, you leave yourself up to potential abuse because your need is emotional, and so you're not vetting the person out spiritually.
And maybe this is you finding out that maybe that's how you've fallen into those traps in the past.
That's The Goodness by Toby Mac and Blessing Ofor. We're still reading your messages. We've got a message from Michael. Michael says, wow, that's also relevant in marriage. You will rely too much on your spouse, trying to get from them what you should be getting from God. Michael, I agree with you 100%. We do it all the time. Your wife cannot be your mother. Your husband cannot be your father. And sometimes what we tend to do is whatever fantasy we had about family when we were growing up, whether we had too much of it or too little of it, we just dump it on our spouse. Like they're supposed to fulfill this mommy role that you never had. And honestly, it's too much and it's quite simply unfair. That's also what happens with so-called spiritual parents. I say it quote-unquote because even that term for me, yeah, it's a lot. But still, with spiritual parents, we put so much on them as well. And so if it goes wrong, it hurts us more than it should because we've got an emotional wound there from our own biological parents.
Elsa says, I grew up with a father and a mother and there were still many lacks I just wanted to get out. So seek after God, read the word, get to know him. Only he gives you love. And she's highlighted God, the word, him, and love.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that, Elsa. You know what? We also sometimes have the assumption that just because someone had a father and a mother in their house, that they have no problems. I actually remember posting one day on Facebook and someone actually responded to me and said, you know what, I'm having a problem in my marriage because my husband comes from a father and a mother relationship. And because of that, he thinks there's nothing wrong with him, you know. So let's not also make the assumption
mm-hmm.
that the problem only comes from the part of the family. There we go.
I want to quickly take us to scripture. Hebrews 12, verse 9 to 10 speaks also to the message that you just sent right now. It says, moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They discipline us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we might share in his holiness. Every time someone says growing up with a two-parent household doesn't mean you get it, that you understand it, that you're with it. I always think of Hebrews 12, verse 9 to 10, because what I understand from that is that there is no human discipline that leads to holiness.
Hmm.
What that means is you could have had parents and they did their best. That's what that scripture says.
Yes.
So if your dad was an alcoholic, but your parents were married until death, the best he could do was parent you while being intoxicated. And so to make the assumption that being from a two-parent home means that you don't have a lack is something that we need to look into as well. You have parents that are there, but that are completely absent, and they're not engaging with you emotionally. So it's not about being a single parent or being from a double parent home. It's about the lack that children can face in a home when parents are not fully present, but that the Bible is clear that only God's discipline leads to holiness. So we should go to Him as the ultimate father to fill all those voids so that we're not taken advantage of by people in society.
And also, I really want us to touch on what, I think it's Michael or Michelle, I'm not sure, you know, that in marriage, you know, we all coming in broken. There is no one who walked into their marriage whole. And we have to give each other grace. We have to aim to see our own shortcomings, you know, because it's also easy to point at our partners and say, oh, but this one had this, or I had this, and this one didn't have that. But when you can come and say, look, we both have shortcomings, and we both are learning, that is the first step of healing. Just recognizing that no one is walking in this thing whole.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That is so true. And it's Annalise. She just fixed her name. It's Annalise. She was using another phone, not Michael. Thank you, Annalise, for your message. It's so important what you're saying, for us to be reminded that, listen, nobody can take the place of God. And quite frankly, it's unfair to put that on anyone else but the Almighty Father.
In highly anticipated Tab Statement, hashtag The Journey Tour will be on Sunday, the 17th of December at Mungo's at.
We still keep getting your messages, and we're going to get through it as much as we can before we have to say goodbye.
All right. Lunga said, hey, guys, from personal experience, I don't know that God is my father. Sorry, I know that God is my father, and I don't doubt His love for me. I also know that He is ever present with me. However, my broken relationship with my father is a void that God can't fill. I've spoken to God about it, spoken to my pastor, mother, and wife. I nearly broke down when my son was shocked to hear that my dad never raised me. He couldn't understand it. I feel that you only have one father and no one can take his place. My prayer is that God would mend my relationship with my father, because no one can replace him. Thank you. Now, it's a very understandable emotion that you are feeling, Lunga. And you know, the only thing I can say to you, and this is something the Lord shared with me, I also didn't grow up with my father, but there was a time when the Lord really began to show me how He had been there for me as a father. But because I was so focused on the father I didn't have, I could not fully receive the father that I did have, you know. And I really had to sit down and realize, oh my goodness, from the time I was a child, sometimes I wanted a PlayStation and suddenly it will be on sale. You know, anything I wanted from a father would suddenly be there. And I thought, you know, it was just coincidences and things like that. But there's a time when the Lord really sat me down and said, Danny, I've been there for you as a father, but your lack has prevented you just not from seeing and acknowledging. Because the more you look away and focus on what you don't have, the less you see what you do have. Nomva says, trust me, He is able to mend and make you whole out of the void one gets from absent but present parents. It starts by accepting it. Allow the Holy Spirit to walk.
Allow the Holy Spirit to walk with you and then surpasses all the understanding that as an individual you need in that void. Thank you. Bye.
And last but not least, good morning, Lady V and Danny V. I'm listening to your program from the UK. May the power of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus continue to be with you. That came in from Alice.
Yes, thank you so much from all your messages today. We really do appreciate it. Before we leave, we have to say one more thing. Let's stop blaming people for the spirit that's actually operating behind them. You know, Jesus didn't cast out Peter, but he rather was able to see the spirit that infiltrated him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter wasn't being called Satan, but Jesus could recognize that what was happening now was an infiltration. I particularly want to say this for couples. We would do a whole show on this, you know, one day for married couples. We blame each other so much for the things that the enemy has caused in our marriage. And sometimes the only way to move forward is to admit that both of you in different or the same seasons were infiltrated, to forgive each other and to truly see what is happening behind the scenes so that you can heal and be the couple that God has called you to be.
And remember, there is no one perfect, you know, and you know, no one has the perfect upbringing, whether with one parent or with both parents. But there's a perfect God who loves you, who can bring you together, you know, from every broken place that is within you. And if you do need help, we have contact details. You can ask and we will have them sent to you. You know, for you to get help, what is that number?
If you would like any form of counseling, this is a WhatsApp number, so feel free to voice note and type a message. It is 081-640-9372. That number again is 081-640-9372.
All right. What is happening next week, Lady V?
Next week is another surprise, so I'm not saying everything every week because I want you to come back. I want you to come back and hear the topics that we're going to talk about, but I definitely believe that you will. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day further, and we will see you definitely here on Impact 103, same time, same place, next week.
Linda, Kehilwe, Ilsa, Annalise, Nomva, Lunga, Alice, and anyone else who messaged today.
And Hercules as well.
And Hercules, who sent us that voice note earlier. Sandra, you know, thank you so much for participating in the show. You know, it makes it extra special hearing from you guys and, you know, learning and partaking in your testimonies. Au revoir from the Vambilis. See you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.